David Wolford. It is the 10th of August, 2002. I'm in Russellville in Logan County here with Mr. Jim Young. Mr. Young, would you just kind of introduce yourself and tell us where you grew up?
Okay. David, I was a native of Logan County. My father owned a farm about 2 miles north of Adairville, and I attended 12 years of school, 1 through 12, at Adairville. Graduated from there in 1950. Went to Austin Peay and got my master's degree at Peabody in Nashville, and then later got another 30 hours beyond that at Western. But I started my teaching career in 1955 at Trenton, Kentucky. It was a little 1 through 12 school, independent school. We only had, I think, 52 youngsters in high school. I taught 6 different subjects, had a homeroom, and kept a bird book. Coached basketball and baseball, and it was a full year. Then I went to Lewisburg in 1956. I taught and coached there for 2 years. Then I came to Russellville in 1958 through 61. I was director of pupil personnel and head basketball coach. In 61, Mr. Khrushchev put up the Berlin Wall, and President Kennedy activated our local guard unit, of which I was having to pull active reserve time, so I went back in the Army. In 62, I came out of the Army and went to Auburn, 1 through 12, elementary through high school, and I served there until December of 65. At that time, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act was passed, and Mr. Stevenson, who was superintendent of Russellville School, offered me a position as assistant superintendent in the Russellville system, taking care of the federal programs and the buses and a little of everything. And then when he retired in 1974, the board elected me to serve as superintendent, and I served until I retired in 1993. It's been an interesting life here in Logan County, and I look forward to hearing what you've got to ask.
Okay. Well, let's start with your time at Trenton in Todd County.
Okay.
I know you weren't there long, but that was during the 55-56 school year.
Correct.
It's right after the Supreme Court had made the initial ruling about segregation, and then they also made a clarification by this time.
Right.
Do you recall, by any chance, the feeling in Todd County about the idea of integrating their students?
Right. I was hired to teach and coach there, and it was funny because all of the board members were either farmers. There was a banker, and there was a gentleman who owned a garage there. But I met the board and was interviewed. They pulled 2 pickup trucks together, and we sat there in the middle of a place off the side of the road with the lights on, and they talked to me, and they agreed to, they decided they'd hire me. But and when we got through, I'll clean this language up a little bit as I relate it to you, but one of the men said, "Now, Mr. Young," says, "I'll tell you right now," he says, "there's 2 things we'll never do here at Trenton." He says, "Number one, we'll never send our children to Elkton to school."
What's Elkton?
Elkton was the center of Todd County, and there had been talk about consolidating all those schools into one, see. So he told me, he said, that we'll never let our children go to a consolidated school in Elkton. And he says, number two, he says, our children will never go to school with blacks. He called them the N-word, but anyway.
Now, who was this that was
this
speaking?
This was one of the board members. I don't recall the gentleman's name, but anyway, it was odd because 2 years later, their school, their high school went under, and their kids did go to Elkton to consolidated school, and in about another 2 to 3 years, they were fully integrated, and So his ESP was slightly out of kilter, because everything he said they weren't going to do at Trenton, they had done within 5 years.
Did the community? Do you think the community in Trenton, or the Todd County residents, do you think they agreed with this gentleman, or do you think that he was kind of a?
I don't know. I think he just may have been out on his own on that. You know,
okay.
May have been expressing a personal prejudice on it, but Todd County's been integrated for quite some time, and I've not heard of any difficulties there.
Okay. How would you describe public reaction, black and white, in Logan County regarding the ruling about segregation back when that first happened?
Well, when the Brown decision was done?
Correct.
Of course, it was, everybody here in the heartland of the United States, when they make a decision in Washington, the Supreme Court, it seems like it's happened overseas, you know, at that time. This was in 1954. And everybody thinks, well, that does apply everywhere, but, you know, it won't apply here. But the thing that occurred was that, we can get into this later on, but I think when the decision was first made, nobody really thought a great deal about it. Maybe some of the local black citizens did, and certainly the leadership in the town did because of what they did later on. But the general public, I don't think really paid much attention to when it first came up.
The districts in the county, both the Russellville system and the Logan County system, did integrate relatively early, 1956.
Right.
Why did the local school boards integrate at this time, you think?
I think it was due primarily to the leadership here in Russellville, and people in the county went along with it. But there was after this thing began, about a year and a half after the decision, people began to realize, or the leadership of the county or the city realized that, hey, you know, this is the law of the land, and we need to go ahead and do something about it. They made a conscious effort to integrate the high schools in 56. They didn't have the room at the time to do the elementary. So they just didn't say, we're going to do it. There was a lot of meetings, for example, leaders in the town that were members, board members, that were superintendents, that were lay people. They held meetings at churches. They held all the civic clubs, the women's clubs. Everyone, all those people were addressed, telling them that this was the law of the land and that it needed to be done. And it was set up to do in 56, and it was done, and there was no hassle to it. The Ku Klux Klan didn't come into town. You didn't see any crosses burned. There was just nothing like that occurred. The kids came into school. The white kids, seemingly to me, from what standpoint I could see, welcomed them in. There were a lot of good black athletes that came into school, and they got instant recognition because of their stature as, you know, playing ball and all. But anyway, it was really a very positive time in the county. And it went well, and I attributed to the leaders there. Bob Stevenson and Bob Piper were superintendents in the city and the county, and you had men like Dr. Byrne, who was chairman of the Russell Board at that time, Mr. Winky Sosh, who was general manager of the radio station. You just had a lot of people in the community that said, this is the thing to do, let's do it, and do it right, and it was done right.
So you would say, like, the white leaders initiated the the integration?
Absolutely.
Was there any pressure from the black community to do this at all?
None that I recall at that time. They wanted to do this.
The black community wanted to be integrated?
Yes, they did. And they wanted their children to come to school and have the best of facilities and everything that that the white children had. But you had a much broader based, a bigger based black Christian community at that time. And they worked hand in hand with the white leadership and the white leaders to get this over. All of your white ministers and so forth, they were preaching this from the pulpit that this was the thing to do. And it just happened. It was a big voluntary effort that went well from all sides. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't some individuals out there that were unhappy about, that weren't unhappy about this. I'm sure there were. But they were so outnumbered, they didn't say anything.
Really?
No, you just didn't hear it. They might grumble to themselves, but I never heard of that.
What type of plan did the administration devise, once the decision was made, we're going to go through with this and integrate? What kinds of plan was created, or what kind of steps were made to guarantee a smooth transition?
Well, I really don't know. I think that before the children ever arrived at school, the major part of the work had been done. Getting the attitude of the community to accept this and to say that it was the thing to do, really, when the children showed up and enrolled, they just enrolled and school started, and that was the end of it. The teachers were assigned, I don't think I've mentioned this before, but one of the things when the schools were integrated, I don't know whether you got this on your questions or not, but all the black teachers were accommodating.
Meaning?
They were all hired. There were no layoffs of black personnel. And they were all placed in various schools and various teaching various subjects, and that all went well. There was not a single black professional that was knocked out of a job because of this. And that helped because they were friendly faces when these kids walked into school.
I guess when this first happened, you were at Lewisburg High School.
Yes.
In 56-58, which is part of the Logan County system.
Right.
What were some things maybe you saw in the school building or in a classroom, or were you coaching at the time also?
Right. It was my first year there at Lewisburg, and there was an incident that occurred that was interesting. It sticks out in my mind. Lewisburg was a 1 through 12 school that was a largely populated school at that time. I'd say 700-800 students. And most of the black citizens lived in Russell, Armstead, Adairville, in the southern part where the big farms had been. But the principal at Lewisburg, Glenn Summers, the first day, everybody met in the gymnasium, and we was there, and the kids were finding out whose room they were going to be in and so forth, and all of a sudden, this one black kid walks in the door at the gymnasium, and it got as quiet as a tomb. It was an interesting thing that happened. There was a couple of kids there that played basketball, Larry Foggy and Brownie Dykes. And all of the basketball players were sitting over there on one side.
Is this the Larry Foggy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when this kid showed up at the door and everything got suddenly silent, they got up out of the stands, walked over and said, come on, Otis, come on over here and sit with us. And he walked over and sat down with him, and everybody went back to to normal. And I'd say Otis Folks was probably one of the most popular kids in school when he graduated.
And he's Otis?
F-O-U-L-K-E-S or F-O-L-K-E-S, Otis Folks, F-O-L-K-E-S.
And he was the sole black student in that school?
In a school of about 800 students.
Wow.
But it was. I thought it was interesting. The response from Larry and Brownie was particularly good because it set a tone for the smaller kids to say, "Hey, you know, here's a guy that's coming in. That's a complete stranger, and we bring him in. We make him feel welcome." And it was a very positive thing.
What are some other interactions you might have seen between whites and blacks in the, you know, the months or even the years to follow?
Oh, my stars. gosh, I don't know. I will say that the atmosphere, I was trying to think of any personal instance like that occurred, and as time goes on, I may think of them and relay them to you. I think the thing that bothered me probably more than anything was that we had such a nice, what I call a very cooperative integration of our school, and both races, it appeared to me, were very supportive of this endeavor. And then, in the 60s, when we had the riots, when we had Stokely Carmichael saying, "Burn, baby, burn," and we had the assassination of Dr. King, and we had some of these things occur. I saw an attitude shift on some black children that was very disturbing. You could just almost see hatred in their eyes. And that was a real come down for me, because I was of the opinion that I was overly optimistic, but I just felt like that the public education system was the route whereby we were going to be able to take a generation of youngsters and give them some advantages that their children, that their parents and grandparents never had. I'm a great believer that education is the way that you pull yourself up. When you pull yourself up economically, then you pull yourself up a lot of other ways too. And this, to me, this was the thing that the integration of our schools was supposed to do. It was not so much that we were going to socialize all the people together. It was the fact that we were going to take these black children whose parents and grandparents had never had the opportunity of a first-rate education. We were going to bring them into the American dream, where they could get the good job and build the home and have the family and get that type of thing up. And that, there have been a lot of success stories, but it didn't come true to the degree that I hoped for when it started in 56. And I think the militant force that started there in the mid-60s, really set our cause back.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, people are scared of a lot of things now, but in the mid-60s, after they shot Mr. Kennedy, both Kennedys, and Mr. King, and they burned the cities down, I thought that was the worst era of America. Of course, this was the Vietnam thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought all that was, I really feared for what was going to happen to our country. And I was a lot more worried about it then than I am now.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just thought we were going to end up having to have martial law and just and we're just going to have two distinct groups or societies, and it was just going to really be tough. But it's worked out better than the 60s worked. I thought it was a horrible thing for this country. The worst that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the worst since the Civil War. But anyway, we've digressed a little bit.
That's okay. But your point is that locally, you integration was probably smoother in the earlier years than it was in the mid 60s because of the movement nationwide.
That's correct.
Right.
That's
and the influence correct. Of some of these you call more militant leaders
right.
on the local black followers, I guess, the students
well,
or the.
We've never really had. I guess they took their cue from the national leaders because I've just never seen our local black leadership exhibit the kind of resentment that we see sometimes on television.
Right.
But, you know, we mock a lot of what we see on TV, and I think maybe that's something some of that happened. But then there may have been just years of pent-up resentment that finally just came to the surface. But I hated to see it because I think it drives a wedge between people, and then you have people who are willing to cooperate and help try to do things that finally just say, well, I told you so, and then resist any further effort towards trying to resolve some of these huge problems that we've got. So, anyway, I saw a big difference in the attitudes of kids after the 60s.
Now, you, between 58 and 61, you were coaching in the Russellville
right,
system.
Right.
Now, what did you coach?
I was head basketball coach here, and coached some great kids, and we all just had a great time. That was a great time to be alive in Kentucky. And basketball, I had several black players that played for us.
How did the community react to that when there was an integrated ball club?
I couldn't see anything but the fact that everybody just had a great time.
Right.
We just didn't see any evidence of trouble. I know that sometimes we would go into schools that had not integrated yet, and there may be a few catcalls or anything, but no, there just was. We just didn't see a lot of problems.
What kind of impact do you think sports, you know, integrated athletics here in Russellville or in the county, you know, what kind of impact do you think that had on the whole process?
Well. It was a very positive thing because, here, the kids, I had some boys, like George Hill, Marvin Carnell, Charlie Lewis, all those kids were nice athletes, and they were good students. You didn't play back then if you didn't pass. And George, as a matter of fact, went on and ended up getting his PhD later on, but George was a bright kid and went to Bellarmine on scholarship and played 4 years basketball on scholarship at Bellarmine. And later on, he ended up getting his doctorate, I think. But overall, all of the local county schools, I think we had black kids or two on their rosters, on their teams, and everybody just went out and played full houses every night, just had a great time. Competed. Everybody played hard, but then there wasn't the hatred that you see some places. It just, everybody just competed and had a great time. It was a good time to be an athlete.
Why did the Russellville Board of Ed integrate the high school in 56, and then it was many years later that the grade schools began to integrate?
Primarily it was because of the housing situation. You had 1 through 12 centers at the five county schools, at Arable, Auburn, Chadwick, Armstrong, and Lewisburg. Now, they were jammed full of people. You had a...
All of those schools were 1 through 12?
Correct. There was an Adairable training school. There was a black school at Adairable that was 1 through 8.
What's the training school? Is that like a vocational school?
No, they just called it that. It was just an elementary school.
Okay.
You had a couple of two-room schools, one at Armstrong, and I think one at Auburn. But all the high schools, all the black students, the high school black students came to Russell at Knob City. And all of Russell's 9 through 12 went there, plus 1 through 8. When they integrated the high school, you didn't have a vast number of students, because back in that time, you had a tremendous dropout rate. And a lot of the kids, black and white, just eighth grade education was all they could get. So what occurred was that when you looked at the numbers that when they did integrate, there weren't a great deal of kids that came. I think there were 40-some in Russellville. But there wasn't room to take care of the 1 through 8s that were out in all these communities. It wasn't until later on when Russellville was able to build its high school that they were able to take in enough students to integrate them throughout the county. So anyway, it was primarily solely a housing issue that it wasn't all done in 1956. It had to wait until the accommodations were met in 66.
I see. Okay, so there was no plan. I mean, if the residential patterns or the nature of school buildings, if they were more like they are today, where you've got grade schools and middle schools and high schools, possibly that first year in 56, it might have been integrated 1 through 12, you think?
If you had the housing accommodations, I have no question about it.
So it had nothing to do with any kind of gradualism. It was just getting people from point A to B.
That's correct.
Okay, students, I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was that was solely it, because I think if the housing had been available in 56, it would have all been done, because some districts, after we integrated, started trying to come in and start with grade 1, then grade 2, and then work it in gradually, and that was never even thought of here.
Okay. You understand why I asked it, though?
Certainly.
Because I knew that the Russellville system integrated in 56 for the high schools, and then the grade schools were either 65 or 66, and I thought that was planned, but it sounds like that wasn't really done intentionally either. That's the time when it was possible integrate.
That's exactly it. It was possible.
You were principal at Auburn Elementary School in the early 60s, and I think you were principal when it took in its first black students.
Right.
Is that correct? Can you explain to me how that happened?
Well, Auburn had a two-room elementary school on Hill Street. And we knew that plans were being made to integrate to do this integration in 66. But in 64, they had not... They had a two-teacher school there at Hill Street, And they've had difficulty, in, I think, in getting a teacher. But anyway, the day before school, on the first day of, I think it was the day before school, I had a group of about three or four black ladies that came to the office and asked to see me. And when they sat down, they said, Mr. Young, we want to ask you, if we bring our children tomorrow, the first day of school, here, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to enroll them. And they said, well, that's what we want to do. They said we don't have a teacher up there, and we'd like our children to have school here. So the next day they showed up, and we enrolled them in school, and we integrated a year before everybody else, maybe two, I don't know. But anyway, it was 60. It was about 64 when we did that. And Bill Koch, Mr. Koch was the board member at Alton. As soon as I told these ladies that and they left, I called Mr. Koch. And I said, Mr. Koch, I told him what had happened. I said, I told him that they brought the children to school. I was going to integrate them. Or enroll them. And then he said, I hope that's all right with you. And he said, yeah, I'd have been very disappointed if you hadn't have given that response, because he was a very progressive individual, a very good board member. But that was an interesting era, and there were some great kids at Auburn. I really enjoyed them. We never had a moment's problem, and they were a lot of fun because we had a good time.
Who do you think was most instrumental in making integration happen in the county, meaning the whole county, both systems?
If I had to put it to any one individual, and I don't know that I'm 100% right on this, I would think it would be the superintendent of the Russell School, Mr. R.E. Stevenson. Mr. Stevenson just had the tremendous respect from everybody. He had been a principal at Auburn and had come to Russell as principal and then was made superintendent. And people held him in very high esteem. But if I had to say any one individual that I would attribute it to him, it wasn't just a one-man deal, but that's not the question you asked me. Mr. Piper, who was superintendent at Logan County, was a very fine man. And he and Mr. Stevenson cooperated on many, many issues. As I said, we had many people in town who were instrumental in getting this accomplished. Dr. Byrne, a medical doctor, was chairman of the board at that time. I can remember individuals like Mr. Sash, who was general manager of the local radio station, and the ministers in the town, our board members, and our Mr. Stevenson, all had these individuals on the right side of this issue. They went to all the various civic clubs, women's clubs, talking about getting this accomplished in 56, and it just was a nice, positive effort. But if I had to attribute it to any one individual for the success of it, I would attribute it to Mr. Bob Stevenson.
Okay. You said Knob City High School, which was really a 1-12
correct
school. It taught the black students in Russellville in the pre-integration days.
Right.
And did it also, did students of the Logan County system, black students of the Logan County system, actually come to Russellville?
Right. The students from, any high school student, any black high school student that wanted to go to the high school had to be bused to Knob City.
Knob City. What about 1 through 8? If you lived out in Auburn or you lived out in Lewisburg and you were in the fifth grade, black.
As I said before, there was a 1 through 8 center in Adairville. I think it was a 2 or 3 room school out in the Alms community.
What community?
Alms community. That's a rural farming community. You just didn't. There was a 2 room 1 through 8 center there in Auburn. You didn't have many blacks north of Highway 68. They had to come into, if there were any there, they came into Russell School or went to Armstrong. But there was no schools, to my knowledge, any black elementary schools in north of 68. Because
there's no blacks living north of 68?
No, because that was, you saw changes right on Highway 68. In the south of 68 is rich farmland, and of course you had they were dependent upon tenant labor, and then north of it there were small farms, and that the people themselves took care of, and so you just didn't have any black tenants north of Highway 68, so there weren't any schools there because it just wasn't a population that much.
Understand. Whatever became of Knob City High, the building?
Believe it or not, when we vacated that in 66, I was involved with that. We wrote a grant to, I think the federal government supplied us with about $65,000 or $70,000. And we deeded that building to the city of Russell and converted it or renovated it into a community center. And Head Start and a lot of other programs are still run out of that building.
The building still stands?
The building still stands, correct.
Would you have said it was a pretty good building at the time when it was...
Well, it was a wooden structure, and it was a... And looking at it in comparison to what I went to in Adairville, about the same. It was, they had wood floors, they were oiled like all schools were back then. You didn't have tile and carpet on it. It was about typical of what any white student in Logan County was going to.
What about the quality of education there in Knob City?
Well, I can't speak to that, but some of the kids who got out of there. For example, I went to Darabont School 12 years, and it was pretty austere, to be quite frank about it. We didn't have any biology or chemistry labs. We had an agriculture shop. We didn't have any art. We didn't have any music. As I said before, it was just basic education. And later on, when I was talking to some of the youngsters that left, they felt like that when they left Knob City and went to the county school system, that their education took a backward step because they didn't have any labs, didn't have any science labs, they didn't have any art, they didn't have any music. No choirs for them to sing in or anything like that. They didn't make any protest about it. It was the law of the land, and that's where they lived, and that's where they were supposed to go to school, and they did it. But later on, when they became adults, we were talking about it. Some of them said, hey, we felt like we probably had a better education in Knob City than we did going to Adairville Arms to the town.
I get that pretty much finishes my questions. Did you want to say anything in closing here about the desegregation of schools in Logan County?
No, it really was just an interesting time. I was fortunate enough to start my teaching career when it happened in the high school here, and to be coming into administration when it occurred in the elementary school. So I was at key spots both times when really both stages of integration took place. And it's been interesting to see what has occurred. As I said before, we've had a lot of success stories. We've had some black kids that have gone out and done well, but not near to the degree that I would have hoped for when we started in 56. I still believe that the public school system is the great, well, not equalizing force, but I think it's the great way that you pull yourself up by the bootstraps. For example, look at the success stories that are happening in the public school. And let's take it from the Asian students that have come into America. They're very well disciplined. But they come in and say, oh my stars, we get a free education. And if we're at the top of our class, we come out and good gosh, they'll pay us or we'll get a free college education. And if we come out the top of our class there, here comes IBM and here comes 3M and here comes all these people. They're starting us off with big salaries. And they see this as a land of opportunity. And I fear that what has occurred in the 60s, when I told you that I saw a change, the Oriental student sees this as a land of opportunity. And I think the Hispanic student sees it as a land of opportunity. I fear that many of our black students see America as a system of oppression. A land of oppression. They're having a very difficult time getting the slavery issue and all of the Jim Crow laws and all of that stuff out. Even though that's dead now, it's still there. And I wish they could see. I wish they could see the country and the opportunities that are here instead of remembering the past and all the sins. When we can get over that issue, then I think this country will take off like a bright light. But I hope that it'll occur. It won't occur in my lifetime, but maybe it will.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Young. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.